Good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to our culminating class in this series on Kundalini, the inner goddess, and the transformative journey, the transformative process. Again, I'm really, really happy to be here as we enter more deeply into the transformation of consciousness and also allow Kundalini Shakti to rise and fall and rise again as she does. So in this very auspicious time, this beginning of the spring festival season, which is really just starting to get underway, certainly here in California, I know in the East Coast and other parts of this country and other parts of the world, it's not spring yet, but here in California, it's definitely spring jasmine season. And I also want to tell you, I'm calling in from Esalen, where I'm teaching at a conference, and the spring Esalen allergies are very much in bloom. So should I suddenly cough, I might mute myself just to keep the sound off of the call. So if I suddenly fall silent, it just means that I'm having one of those allergic coughs. So we are going to be meditating tonight on the Ajna and the Sahasrar chakras, which are really the chakras where the deepest reorientation of our subtle system takes place, where the egoic self that identifies with our body-mind actually begins to open to the deeper identification of self with essence, the self with the great self, the self with the great I, the I consciousness, which is one with Shiva, with pure awareness. The conference that I'm, where I am this weekend, is on, it's a conference on non-duality, which is a strange word, but a kind of a brand name for teachers who focus on pure awareness. And someone in the conference asked for a definition of awareness, and one of the teachers said, awareness is that which knows our experience, which contains our experience, and of which our experience is made. So awareness is that subtle, alive suchness that is the essence of everything and which is activated through the Kundalini as she awakens and begins to dance inside us. She actually gives us the capacity to be aware of awareness, to be aware of our subtlety, of our true subtlety. So again, good evening. And we're going to continue by chanting the Kundalini Dhyana Mantra. I also want to say that though this is our culminating class in this series, it's not over. We have homework this week, of course, and the listserv, email serve will be up. And also, we are beginning another class, another course in mid-April, which is on an aspect of Shakti, of Kundalini Shakti, based on a text of Kashmir Shaivism called the Stanzas on Vibration, in which we'll continue to explore Kundalini Shakti as she manifests as our body, as our thoughts, as the world. It's a very, very beautiful text, and you'll be getting information about that. And we'll be really together again, and pretty much any time you feel called or pulled to be together. So let's find ourselves a comfortable, upright, seated posture. And or those of you who need to be in a shavasana posture, feel the connection between the base of your posture and the seat, the earth, remembering to allow yourself to take the support of the seat rather than trying to hold yourself up on the seat, to feel that beneath your body, the Muladhara chakra, the extended Muladhara chakra, reaches down into the earth so that as the breath flows in. You can imagine the breath flowing up from the center of the Muladhara, up through the central channel, rising, let's say for now, to the heart, and into the Vishuddha, into the throat chakra, and feeling that the throat chakra opens like a cathedral and allows us to chant these mantras, contemplating the upward flowing goddess Kundalini, wrapped around the self-luminous lingam, the form of Shiva, who is made of nectar, who is subtle, who embodies creativity, and who creates, sustains, and absorbs the universe into herself, who also transforms, transcends the universe, and who is wisdom itself. Dhyayet kundalinim devim swayambulinga veshtinim shyamam sukshmam shristi rupam shristi stiti layatmikam vishvatitam jnanarupam chintayet urvavahinim dhyayet kundalinim devim swayambulinga veshtinim. So you can allow the awareness, the attention, to tune into the breath with that sense of Kundalini as wisdom itself, as the power of awakening itself. You can close your eyes if they're not already closed and sense her presence as the gentle current of lightning-like energy flowing with each inhalation and exhalation upward through the central channel, flowing with the inhalation up to the from the Muladhara, just below the base of the body, up to the second chakra, the Svadhisthana, and exhale with a feeling that the energy opens and caresses the Svadhisthana in the center of the pelvic region. And with the next inhalation, feel the lightning-like energy of Kundalini flowing as a silvery golden light, or simply as a felt sense of energy movement, flowing through the central channel to the region behind the navel. And exhale with the feeling that you tune into the region of the third chakra, the region of fire, of energy, at the seat behind the navel. And with the next inhalation, feel her flowing upward into the heart, to the region of air, the region of prana, the region of love. And with the exhalation, sense the heart softening, opening, inhaling and exhaling for a moment or two in the heart. And then with the next inhalation, feeling the flow of Shakti with the breath flowing up into the hollow of the throat, into the base of the throat, into the Vishuddha Chakra, the home of the white goddess who guards the subtle realms. And now feel the energy flowing upward from the center of the throat through the top of the palate into the very center of the head, behind the eyebrows, but in the center, a little bit towards the back, as your awareness begins to center in the Ajna Chakra, the sixth chakra. And you can begin to feel the energy flowing in and out as if flowing through the eyebrows, through the region between the eyebrows. Envisioning, if you like, this center as a circle like the full moon, a white circle, luminous white circle, with two white petals on either side. And in the very center of the circle, a triangle with its point downward. And you can gently feel as though the breath is flowing in through the space between the eyebrows into the region in the center of the head, allowing the syllable OM to silently repeat itself. The center in the Ajna Chakra is actually one of the places in the human subtle body which is the easiest for many of us to meditate. It's a very natural center of meditation. And you may also feel, as you allow the breath to flow in and out of the center, you may also feel some pressure in the head or between the eyebrows. And if this is the case, just see if you can let your sense of your head just begin to expand a bit. The pressure comes from the intention of Shakti to open this chakra, and the way to allow that pressure to do what it wants to do is to just get an expanded sense of your head so that you begin to remember that your head is not confined to the space inside your skull. So we're going to be returning to this chakra, to the lore of the Ajna and the Sahasrara. But even as we speak of these upper two centers, which are said to be the culmination of Kundalini's journey, I also want to just remind us that the truly integrated journey of Kundalini in through the chakras is one in which Shakti can freely rise to the higher chakras and even beyond, and then flow down to rest in the Muladhara or the heart or wherever in the inner body is her will, her appropriate loving place to come to rest. And it's actually through that process of Shakti rising and flowing back down, rising to one chakra, being very active in that chakra, then flowing to another. It's in this very spontaneous process that the chakras gradually open, that they get purified, that they begin to give their gifts, and that full awareness of our essential nature as Shakti begins to manifest not only in transcendent states, not only in meditation, but through our body and through our life. I know that many of you are having experiences of the upper worlds, as they say, beginning to open up to you, and some of you are also having quite physical experiences. And again, to remind you that the way in which we kind of allow Kundalini to integrate herself into our system is always to have the thought of letting her do what she wants to do, to expand as she wants to expand. There have been a couple of questions this week about ego and what we do about it, and I want to address that partly this week, but more deeply on the listserv itself. There's a very famous tantric verse. It's one of those mystery verses. It's called Twilight Language, because you have to be in on the secret to get it. It's kind of shadowed language, and the verse goes, drinking, drinking, falling down, drinking again. And, you know, the kind of exterior meaning that we think when we read it is that it's, you know, kind of a wicked verse about drinking intoxicating liquor and getting drunk. But actually, this verse means something quite esoteric and different. It means that as we practice, as our practice deepens, and as Kundalini rises to the Sahasrara, she begins to open what's called the pot of nectar at the crown chakra, and then we feel the subtle energy of that nectarian expanded state literally dripping down, falling down as as energy, as blissfulness, as a sense of expansion. There's so many ways it happens through our body, rejuvenating the subtle body and the physical body, and then again falling down into the Muladhara chakra. And one of the other experiences that begins to happen as Kundalini rises into through the Ajna, through the sixth chakra, and into the Sahasrara, the topmost chakra, is that as Shakti starts to work in the upper chakras, we actually go through the deepest form of purification of our karmic imprints. In fact, and this is something that I've only learned in the last couple of years, although it's been my experience over the years, that the lower chakras actually begin to be activated and, let's say, purified, opened, and literally cleansed, or having their karmas dissolved even more deeply as Kundalini begins to work in the Sahasrara. And one reason for this is because it's said that all the organs, all the subtle organs of the chakras, all the subtle channels of the body, the subtle organs of perception, all have nodes in the thousand-petaled lotus of the Sahasrara. You know, if you've seen the pictures of the Sahasrara, you know that it's shown as a kind of as a lotus with many, many petals, like a chrysanthemum, or like the cap on the statues of the Buddha. You know, he's actually shown with this kind of petaled cap on his head, often in many, many of the statues and paintings, which represents his fully opened topmost chakra. And these petals that you see in the paintings of the Sahasrara, like the petals in the other chakras, are actually nodes. They are connecting stations that conduct higher energies from the subtle realms beyond the body into the subtle body, and literally vitalize all the subtle channels, the nadis, connect them to each other, and open up the chakras. And this is actually part of the mystery of how Kundalini transforms consciousness, that so much of the awakening process takes place over time as Shakti rises and falls down again and rises again. And over time, she begins to bring forth and more or less take care of the issues associated with the lower chakras in deeper and deeper ways. And again, as a long-term practitioner of a Kundalini path, I can tell you that the process really only deepens and continues to deepen. So the great skill of Shakti Sadhana, as we have been saying, is to learn the art of Shakti, letting Shakti move through your life so that you can begin to recognize the difference between the, let's say, squirming of the ego mind, which while noticing how Shakti works through the mind, this is the paradox, works through guidance that often comes through the mind as she frees you from the veils that hide your beauty. One of the reasons why it's so important to keep returning to a kind of witness awareness, an awareness of awareness during these processes, is because that this is what allows us to assimilate and metabolize the specific experiences that, you know, experiences of what feels like transformative awakening, and also what feels like transformative karmic cleansing. And in the course of this, as many of you have shared, she's continuing to give you hints about how your practice might need to shift or expand. So you might get the feeling that you need more meditation, or that you need more physical exercise, or some deep issue that's been up for you comes up in a big way, or you feel very sensitive, as a lot of people have shared, or maybe your work life and your family life has really, really gotten busy and you need to adapt your process, your practice, and you start to learn how to recognize the voice of the goddess, the voice of Kundalini in you, And to learn, and the only way we learn, again, speaking from my own experience, is by practice. My guru used to say, people would ask him, how do I know what the right decision is? And my guru would say this very frustrating sentence. He would say, by the result. In other words, if it works out well, you made the right decision. And, you know, we would go, oh, God, can't you give me some psychic counsel that will tell me, you know, whether I'm doing the right thing? But the fact is, it's in that process of following intuitive guidance and beginning to discern her liberating voice from the voice of, let's say, what you call your mind. And it's why it's so important for reasons of getting guidance to have some time every day when you're getting quiet and invoking the face of goddess, of the goddess as she is manifesting as energy in your body, invoking the felt sense of Shakti moving in your body, talking to her, asking her how she's revealing herself to you at this moment, at this time, in this region of your life, in this part of your world. Or how can you align yourself more deeply with the divine will? Or what needs to be let go of now? What do I need to pay attention to? The more you get in the habit of asking inwardly, really asking those questions, the more you begin to be able to discern this subtle guidance. And as the Ajna chakra begins to open, that discernment becomes more and more present and more reliable. And for me, and this may be true of you as well, it often shows up not so much as a voice. You know, you often hear from people with psychic gifts that they'll hear a voice that directing them, and some of you may have that experience. For me, it's more often a kind of felt sense of direction. More of a sense, a kind of an, oh, I should move this way. And sometimes I don't even know I'm being guided until I notice myself moving or doing something. And in fact, I have learned that when my mind starts feeding me ideas or opinions, it's often not Shakti. It's often actually what I would call my own desire mind or my own fear mind. In other words, the guidance system that has come online over the course of the years is really a lot like a GPS. It shows by the way the energies feel rather than by verbal instruction what is the right direction. And even so, saying that, there is a phenomenon that can occur as we find ourselves being moved down or pulled down what feel like sidetracks or karmic detours that we wonder if we couldn't have avoided if we had been more discerning, but which are actually very often experiences or phases that we need to go through because there's a particular karmic imprint that is playing out. One of the characteristics of Kundalini-inspired sadhana, as we have said again and again, is the way in which karmic imprints play out as life events that actually unfold very quickly, sometimes very intensely, simply because these karmic patterns are being, as you know, as we say, they're being burned. They're coming up to be experienced and done with, so that they don't have to happen in another life or at a particularly inconvenient time. But it's also true that it's very helpful to learn how to recognize when you're being drawn in a certain direction and you have a choice. You have a free will choice as to whether to follow that particular pull or not. I'll give you an example from my own life, and I'm sure you have many from yours. I was once offered a job making video documentaries, which I thought was very exciting and was a great opportunity. not something I'd asked for, but which, you know, seemed to be an option to that would get me involved with some very interesting people. The work was very cool. And as I was contemplating it, and I was literally about to say yes, I noticed that there was something in my energy body that had been activated by this opportunity that was kind of fluttery and excited and kind of driven. In other words, it was as though this impulsion was coming from a part of myself that let's say was not the sadhana-oriented part of myself. It was much more the ego-oriented, ambitious part of myself, the kind of greedy, opportunity-greedy part of myself. Some of you may know this characteristic. Many of us have that voice in us. And I realized that the source of the excitement that I was feeling was, it was kind of coming from a desire not to be left out of something exciting. You know, the phrase nowadays is FOMA, fear of missing out. That desire to have certain experiences that other people are having or that seem cool or interesting, but which are not necessarily going to take you in a direction that will, let's say, expand consciousness or allow the inner journey to take place in an unobstructed way. So what I learned from that experience, and what I know many of you have learned from particular temptations or detours, that there is a quality of energy that comes up around particular events that is what we could call egoic energy, that's nearly always allured by something that that fits in with the ego's idea of who you should be, or often it's motivated by fear of something. A fear of getting into something that will be a detour, or, you know, a feeling of holding back. So as we center ourselves, as we keep returning to center in the central channel or in the heart, or as we're going to be practicing today in the third eye center, we start to be able to observe these impulses and to know the difference between an impulsion that comes from the depths of yourself and an impulsion that comes from the desire mind or from the fear mind or from some form of the ego mind. So you can allow the breath now to flow in and out through the region between the eyebrows into the sixth chakra, the Ajna chakra, and feel how does that feel to you to have the breath flowing directly into the center of the head through the Ajna chakra. If it feels comfortable, you can continue to breathe that way. If it feels a little too intense, then begin to sense to breathe from the heart to the Ajna in the way that we have been doing in the last few weeks, inhaling from the heart up to the third eye and exhaling from the third eye down to the heart, remembering that the breath is flowing along the central channel in the center of the body towards the back. So the place of the Ajna chakra, if you are confused, it's described as being in the space between the eyebrows, but that's actually a location pointer on the outside of your body. So if you want to find it, you can put your finger between the eyebrows, move it up about half an inch, and then take your attention into the center of the head, behind that place, which is actually just above the upper palate. So another way to find the Ajna chakra is to touch your tongue to the hard palate and just take your awareness right above it. It has a location, the sixth chakra, but it actually is a system. In other words, inside the subtle body, inside the head, starting in this place, just above the upper palate, there are a series of subtle centers that begin to become activated as the Shakti moves up through the Ajna into some of these other levels of the Ajna, and then into the Sahasrara, which also has many levels. So there's this system in the upper chakras. These centers in the upper chakras are actually a system. And some of you may have had visionary experiences or particular inner sensations which maybe bring your attention a little bit above this place in the center of the head, or a little bit even above the head. So it's very interesting. You don't need to know exactly what these look like, though. There are pictures of them on the diagrams that are on the course page, the course homepage, and the website. But it's also interesting to understand that these chakras have many, many different layers, and that there are actually different subtle levels of consciousness that have seats inside these centers of the head. So, for instance, when people in Western spiritual shorthand, and I guess Eastern spiritual shorthand, talk about going from the head to the heart, which often makes us feel as though we're meant to drop our attention from the head center into the heart center, and that works. But what this statement is referring to is the fact that in these chakras in the head, there are different levels of consciousness, of individual consciousness, and the Ajna chakra is the seat of what's called the sense mind, the manas in Sanskrit. That is that aspect of our individual consciousness whose job is to sort out the sense impressions. And I know this is not necessarily, I'm not giving you the neurophysiology according to contemporary neuroscience, but I'm giving you the subtle Sanskrit terminology, though it is actually possible to line them up. So the sense mind, that aspect of consciousness which is constantly cycling between different forms of sense perception, sound, sight, taste, smell, and bringing them into the into our subtle system, and then making sense of them, identifying them, kind of telling us, okay, that's a sight, that's a sound. This process, which of course goes on in the brain and nervous system, is so immediate that we don't even recognize it's happening. And it's this center is also the seat of the ego, or the ahamkara, as it's called in Sanskrit. Aham meaning I, and kara meaning maker. So the ahamkara is the I maker. It's that function within our system which identifies certain aspects of our reality as mine and certain aspects of reality as not mine. So the ahamkara, the ego in the sense that the yogic texts speak about it, is simply the function which arrogates or grasps experience, which identifies with thoughts, which identifies with the perception of the body. So these are the ways in which the sort of individuating aspects of our eye consciousness function in the sixth chakra. It's also the place, it's also the center where the three main nadis, the nadis that are associated with the breath, with the prana shakti, the ida, the solar channel, the pingala, the lunar channel, and the sushumna, the central channel. The ida is the channel that's associated with the moon, or the receptive, or the restful breath. The pingala is the channel associated with the solar breath, the warming breath, and the sushumna is called the fire channel, the fire nadi, because it's the subtlest. Fire is said to be the subtlest aspect of light. So these three channels come together just above the palate at the top of the Sushumna Nadi, and they form a triangle in the center of the chakra. So I'm going to ask you to allow the breath to flow in and out through the center between the eyebrows and to sense the presence of this chakra. And I like to visualize it, the circle, as being horizontally placed in the center of the head with the triangle in the center of it and the two wings, the two petals on either side. But you can imagine it in different ways, and when it reveals itself to you, it may reveal itself in a whole other way than we're imagining it. So inside the chakra, within the triangle, is the letter Om, which I think of all the Sanskrit letters is probably the one that's most familiar to us, that three with a little downward-facing tail and a little upward-facing tail and a dot between it. So we could say that Om is constantly sounding itself within the center of the Ajna Chakra. And also there in the center of the triangle is a light that's called the Itara Lingam. That is, it's a form of Shiva as a lingam, and it also is often shown as a flame. You know, the flame has this vertical appearance. It's a white flame. And again, inside the chakra is also the Shakti of the chakra, who is called Hakini. She's a six-armed goddess. You don't have to visualize her, but she's quite a powerful presence. And it's said in the lore, the goddess lore of this chakra, that when you feel pressure or intensity here, it's actually the goddess Hakini opening the chakra. So Hakini is sometimes shown as a white goddess and sometimes as a red goddess. And so as we begin to feel the energy in this chakra vibrating and expanding, she's coming online. And of course, the Itara Lingam, this small flame, pillar-shaped light in this chakra, is actually the visual point, the visualizing point of one of the classical forms of meditation practice, not only in the tantric tradition, in the Vedic tradition, in many traditions, the meditation on the flame in the center of the head, the meditation on the Ajna Chakra. So please bring your attention here above the palate into the center of the head. As the breath flows in and out, you can try it, letting it flow in and out through the forehead, or you can feel the inhalation rising from the heart and just opening up with in the way that the breath can, this sense of the center of the head with the flame, the Itara Lingam, vibrating with Om. So inhaling, feel that the mantra Om vibrates inside the flame in the center of the head. One of the classical practices for opening the Ajna Chakra and allowing the Shakti to flow upwards into the Sahasrara is to chant or think Om, elongating the M sound so that the vibrations of Om can be felt inside all these centers of the head. And I'm going to ask you to chant to yourself, Om, in a very inward way. See if you can just let that sound, Om, with the elongated M, flow up from the center of the flame in the middle of the head. See how far that M sound wants to rise as it vibrates. Om. Oh. so much following my sound as sounding it yourself at the pitch and at the level. And I'm suggesting chanting softly so that you can really focus more on the way the sound vibrates. And if you don't want to chant it, you can think it. Om, with a sense of the vibrating from the flame up through the center of the head, perhaps up through the crown even. Just more and more focusing on the flame in the center of the head, the sound Om flowing from the flame up through the layers of the subtle upper chakras, perhaps right up into the region that begins to open the skull and take you into the higher chakra, the Sahasrara. The word Ajna means command, and it's called the command chakra because it's said to be the place where you receive the command from the inner guru, who is said to live in the region just above this chakra. You receive the command from the inner guru that allows your awareness to begin to open up and join with your highest self in the Sahasrara. And because every chakra has its, let's say, individual benefits as well as its subtle benefits, meditating in the Ajna chakra happens to be really good for improving the memory, for sharpening the mind. It's also the place where consciousness begins to flow from the surface mind back through our tendency to identify as a body and then into the pure field of our awareness, you know, this sense of the suchness that is called the citta or the mind stuff, which is actually consciousness itself in a contracted individual form. And in the text, in the tantric texts, these aspects of consciousness are categorized and separated. So if you, again, with your awareness in this center, just see if you can look directly into what I call the field or the field of awareness. And for me, it's always been very interesting to actually, when I say look into this field, to actually look into it, because there is a kind of a visual field that appears when you begin to notice that you can use your inner eyes with your eyes closed to become aware of the vibrating field of your consciousness in the head. So this is actually what you're looking at, is the citta, the mind field, C-H-I-T-T-A, which is, again, as many of you know, citta has the same root as the word chitti or chetana, which means absolute consciousness, and it signifies the contracted or self-limited consciousness that expresses itself as the human mind, the individual mind. And again, I'm following the tantric map here, that what happens as you meditate here in this center, and I know that for many of you thoughts are arising, so just notice the substance of the thought, which is consciousness. Remember, the thoughts themselves, whatever their content, are made of chitti, of chitta. They're made of consciousness stuff. They're made of awareness. They're the substance of your awareness, of your knowing capacity. So as the energy in the Ajna chakra becomes subtler and rises, there becomes a sense of your awareness actually moving into subtler and subtler levels. And for some of you, this may be a sense of the energy rising. For others, and this is true for me also, it's more a sense of the energy kind of sinking into itself, not so much spatial as just a sense of deepening of the energy of the awareness. And the first level of this, of chitta, of the mind stuff, is called the manas. And we mentioned it earlier. It's a chakra in the Ajna system called the manas chakra, the sense mind, the part of our consciousness which responds to sense perceptions. And those thoughts that are coming up for many of you are actually the functioning of the manas chakra. So when your focus is in the manas, even though you're meditating on the flame, you know, when thoughts are coming up, you are actually very much in what one of my former students used to call the mental log, you know, this constant mental conversation, mental static. So again, keep focusing, being attentive to the sense of the flame, the mantra Om, and allowing your attention to flow upwards, so that you're flowing, let's say, past the sense mind, the thinking mind, flowing into a recognition of the sense of I-ness, which might manifest as the feeling of I'm meditating, I'm in this interior space. It's actually flowing into the direct awareness of ahamkara, the aspect of our interior consciousness which identifies itself as an I. And here in the Ajna chakra, in this space of awareness of I-ness, you actually can do the kind of self-inquiry in which you ask yourself, who or what is this I? To actually meditate on I-ness and allow it to begin to show you that the I feeling is actually a very fluid. It actually doesn't refer to anything, even though we imagine that it refers to the body. So as your attention flows into this felt sense of I-ness, the sense of being in the ground of your own mind, of your mind becoming subtler, the exteriorizing mind becomes the interior mind. this interior mind, which is actually a kind of field with ripples or movements or vibrations that arise and subside. But you can might begin to become aware of the texture of this field. In Sanskrit, this subtle aspect of the mind stuff is called dhi. And when you're really opening to it, again, we're in the Ajna Chakra with the flame, just letting ourselves open to the field of consciousness here. And dhi refers to that aspect of your interior consciousness, which is a kind of ocean. It has a kind of oceanic feeling in it, because it's literally, I call it the field, that sense of suchness, which is the substance out of which thoughts arise, of which thoughts are made, and into which thoughts subside. It's what sometimes called local consciousness or local awareness. And the word samadhi, which of course describes the experience of union, of oneness in meditation, in deep meditation, it's actually a conjunction of the word for one or same, which is sama, and dhi, which is the Sanskrit word for this level of mind. So samadhi is actually the experience of the subtle mind being in a state of oneness or union with the deeper self. So again, see if you can let your awareness linger in this center, in the Ajna Chakra. Perhaps focusing on the flame, perhaps on the breath flowing in and out of the center of the head, perhaps on Om, or perhaps all three. Here in the Ajna Chakra, what comes online is our capacity for being the witness of our experience, for being the one who is able to identify as awareness and be present to whatever is arising and subsiding in our body, in our emotional field, with the recognition that it arises and subsides within this very subtle field called the chitta or the dhi. And it's also the place, I said this is chakra as a system, it's also the place of the last of the three knots. You remember the three knots? The knot of Brahma at the Muladhara, the knot of the heart, the Vishnu Granti, the knot which sustains our both attachment and aversion, our sense of being separate in relationship. And the knot at the Ajna Chakra is called the Rudra Granti, the knot of Shiva. Rudra is a very fiery form of the divine masculine, a form of Shiva. It's the knot which separates us from the divine, which separates your individual consciousness from the great field of consciousness, of awareness, which is actually your deepest truth. So when the Rudra Granti is in place, it is actually hard for us to recognize non-separation. We're very much locked into the feeling of our separate existence. No matter how expanded we get in meditation, we always come back to that fundamental sense of separation. And one of the ways in which you know that this knot is being opened, and perhaps the key to opening this knot, is that we begin to take a different attitude towards loss and gain. Because really the essence of the experience of being a separate self, let's call it the experience of being an egoic self or a small egoic self, is that our life is filled with ups and downs, with gains and losses. And of course, the egoic self in general wants to gain and doesn't want to lose. And ultimately, the sense of losing something or losing someone or losing touch with something actually feels like a blow to our existence as a separate self. So our sense of survival is very much activated as this chakra starts to open. And as this knot opens, you begin to be able to look at your journey very differently and often to see that the losses that you experienced and that you may even be experiencing now have actually been very significant as ways of moving us forward, of triggering our longing, of advancing our spiritual journey, because so many of us, after a loss, after the loss of something important to us, something that we've identified with, it's often after the loss that something in us relaxes or surrenders, and the knot here at the Ajna Chakra begins to loosen, begins to open. And eventually we start to realize that loss and gain are simply happening to the egoic self, and that the journey itself can be spurred forward by loss or gain, but more often it's spurred forward by what we call loss. So this recognition that our karmic journey, which often seems to be full of loss, it's very easy to read about in a book, and it's very easy for me to say it, although I have to tell you that I say it from a place of experience. It's not always that easy when you're going through it. So a couple of people have talked about their experience of the goddess Dumavati, the crone goddess, the widow goddess, for those of you who are familiar with the tantric goddess tradition of the tantric tradition of the wisdom goddesses, the Mahavidyas. You know that Dumavati is the form of the divine feminine who teaches us through loss, and often through the experience of emptiness or voidness, when the things that we have loved or enjoyed, seemed, including some of our spiritual experiences, can seem to fall away, and there's a sense of life as empty. And that void space of Dumavati is actually the entrance point. It's one of the very significant entrance points into the expansive space of the Sahasrara. So the void, and there are, according to the Tantra, several voids, several levels of void inside these upper chakras that we follow through, that we travel through. And because for many of us, states that feel like emptiness are associated with early childhood experiences that felt like abandonment, it's very important when we're traveling through a void space in consciousness to really activate the heart center, to remember to feel your connection to the heart center, because somehow the connection between the Ajna chakra and the heart chakra, the fourth chakra and the sixth chakra, seems to allow us to move through some of the psychological void spaces that are part of the karmic unfolding here, so that they can unfold and be recognized as actually doorways into the spaciousness, doorways into the infinite, into the fertile void, what Joan Halifax, the Zen teacher, calls the fertile void, the fertile darkness, which the great Christian mystic John of the Cross calls the dark night, and which the Christian mystic, the mystical author of The Cloud of Unknowing, which is an amazing book about this aspect of the journey, literally called it the cloud of unknowing, the dark spaciousness that we fall into. That's, you know, kind of, he calls it the entrance way into God. It's like the cloak around the divine, around the light that is the state that begins to come online as we pass through the void. So just let your awareness flow in and out of this center, in and out of the flame. Recognizing that as you begin to feel more present in this state, in this place, I'm going to give you a classic non-dual pointing out instruction to recognize that who you are is not this body, not this mind, not this karmic person, but unborn awareness. The eternal divine vastness. You are unborn, you're free. Thoughts and emotions and even the images of the chakras arise and subside inside your consciousness. And as you begin to open to the recognition of this field that is awareness, that is knowingness, that both contains your experience and knows your experience, you recognize that you are that in which experience arises and subsides. And this recognition of the self as awareness, the self as that which transcends and includes the body, mind, is one of the earmarks of the awakening of the Ajna Chakra. So again, the breath is flowing in and flowing out. And you're feeling the way in which the breath, the mantra Om, and perhaps the sense of the flame begins to activate this aspect of your inner body. The recognition that opens out into the sense of yourself as consciousness, as awareness. Recognizing that this is the beginning of what is the depth of the tantric awakening, which happens more and more deeply as Kundalini rises to the Sahasrara. There's a branch of yoga called Laya Yoga, which we've talked about, in which these centers in the Ajna become objects of meditation, in which the nadas that we've also been talking about begin to become objects of meditation. As our awareness is drawn into subtler and subtler levels, we begin to hear these subtle sounds, often to see these subtle lights. But for many of us, there is no inner sensory experience, but actually a deeper and deeper sense of awareness expanding of the self as awareness, as consciousness. There's also, and I want to mention it partly because it was a topic that my guru loved to talk about and which is actually a very significant visual manifestation in this chakra, is it's what's called the bindu, which bindu means point or seed. And the bindu in the chakra is the very center of the chakra. It's the literally the power point in the chakra out of which the whole field that is the manifestation of the chakra and the realm of the chakra flows. And there are several bindus in the upper chakras. In the tantric tradition, there is a tradition that the manifest universe literally explodes out of this condensed point of power known as the bindu, which is what we might call the subtle Big Bang. And it has an interesting correspondence with the physical Big Bang, in which the transcendent subtlety coagulates, condenses into a point of incredible power, and then explodes out from within as what we call the manifest universe, which is actually inside consciousness. But for several of you have had at different times a vision of a point of white light, sometimes a point of red light, sometimes a point of pale blue light. Someone was telling me about her initial awakening, which was an experience of a blue circle of light with a point inside it. My guru called this the blue pearl or the Nila Bindu, and he said, and it's one of the secret teachings of the tantras, that this blue light is the secret form of the light of the divine, which takes form in the human body, as, you know, we could say the light of the soul. So in tantra, when we talk about God living within you as you, very often what the sages are talking about is this visible form of the absolutely entwined together Shiva Shakti, masculine divine, manifesting as a point of highly condensed blue energy. And again, it will sometimes manifest as a flash into our consciousness, sometimes with our eyes open. It's considered an important vision, but doesn't come to everybody, and it doesn't always come in meditation. So I'm just talking about it for those of you who have experienced it or will experience. And it is an indication that the energy is manifesting in these higher chakras, but not the only indication. So again, you can just sense your awareness here in this center, letting the breath flow in and out through the center of the head. And perhaps you might experiment with allowing yourself to be present to the flame, but at the same time, be present to the sense of the expansion of your field of awareness, which might actually reveal itself as just a sense of a knowing presence that's much wider than your physical body, maybe even infinitely wide. This felt sense of spaciousness and energy moving through the head backwards and upwards, manifesting perhaps as a kind of sky-like presence in these upper chakras. So just allow the breath to flow in and out through the center of the forehead. And at the same time, begin to recognize that awareing, that knowingness that is both inside and outside. Just allowing yourself for a moment to identify with that. So for the next few moments, I'm going to speak about the Sahasrara and the classical way that Sahasrara is spoken of. And as we do, see if you can allow the center in the middle of your head to draw your attention backwards as though there's an opening in the back of the head and your awareness flows out the back. And you become aware of the awareing that's present behind your head, looking into that awareness with your inner eye, just feeling this presence that's sometimes called the great awareness or the big mind, noticing whether it has borders or limits. And notice that, as we've said earlier, that there are thoughts arising and subsiding in it. There's also a kind of stillness there. And there may be, for some of you, a kind of sense of shimmer or scintillation. That's the energetic pulsation of Shakti. That very, very subtle pulsing or vibration shimmer inside awareness that's constantly manifesting as a subtle sense of movement or as a thought or as an image. And now see if you can bring your attention, that focusing quality in attention, just above the crown, to the place where the Sahasrara, the thousand-petaled center, is said to arise, and it's six finger widths above the fontanelle, above the soft spot, above the crown. So you can maybe find it with your fingers. It's not inside the body. It's above the body. So if you would like to bring your awareness here about six fingers above the crown, see if you can become aware of this energy pulsing above the head. The extension of the Sahasrara is actually an extension of the Ajna, and for many of us, as we start to meditate in the Ajna, there's this natural sense that the energy is pulsing at the crown. It's like it wants to open up into the Ajna chakra, open up, so that if you're feeling the pulsation at the crown, just have the feeling that your crown opens, that the Shakti inside your body is free to rise up into the area above the head. And if there's a feeling that it doesn't want to rise, that's also cool. Just let it be where it is. So in the Sahasrara, according to the classical tradition, this is where goddess Kundalini unites with her beloved. It's the place where the Shiva and Shakti come into union, where, let's call it, the witness awareness, the pure sense of aware presence, and the energy of prana, the energy of the life force, actually merge. So this metaphor of Shiva Shakti uniting in the crown, it is a metaphor. You know, it's a way of expressing a very subtle reality, but it is also an experienceable reality that many people actually feel, which is how the story got started. So the union of vital force, Kundalini energy, and witnessing presence, knowing, aware consciousness, begins in the lower part of the Sahasrara, which is just this place I mentioned just above the crown. And I'm going to describe this the way the tantric sages picture it, to visualize the energy of goddess in Sahasrara. And as I tell you this, please remember that it's a story, it's a picture. It may or may not be your experience, but it's a sacred picture, it's a sacred story, and it's filled with a kind of nectarian energy that is a very beautiful way to experience your higher self, your upper body. So this lower part of the Sahasrara, the 6 inches, 6 fingers above the crown, is known as the Soma Chakra. Chakra, Soma means nectar. It actually means intoxicating, rejuvenating nectar, fluid. And it's the nectar of immortality. So as this center begins to open, your capacity for complete subtle body rejuvenation begins to be activated. Another name for it is the Nirvana Chakra. And Nirvana literally means cessation. That's one of the translations. It's called that because it's said that when we really enter this chakra, we begin to have the choice not to be reborn in a human body. It's actually a center. This center is a center of blissfulness, and it's also the center of both, again, according to the tantras, of both manifestation and also dissolution. So in other words, forms, the experience of forms, the experience of a world comes into being through this center. Our sense of the body is formed through this center, and through this center, our sense of form is also dissolved. So as we become fluent in the experience of this chakra, we actually can begin to experience in meditation forms dissolving and then reappearing. So it's through the Soma Chakra that the creative power of, at the heart of the universe, the creative power of the macrocosmic awareness streams down into physical manifestation. And it's also, you know, as if you remember back in the beginning of our class, we talked about the feeling of this light, the light from the upper realms, the light from the upper regions of consciousness flowing in through the crown and down through the body and literally activating Kundalini at the base of the spine. So we can say that it's in this chakra, in this experience of what eventually is experienced as a kind of cosmic union, we experience in microcosm how the macrocosm is contained inside us, how the ocean of consciousness is actually contained within the drop of our individual consciousness. So imagine that above your head, six finger widths above your head, there is a triangle, an upward-facing triangle made of light. It's as brilliant as a flash of lightning, this golden white light that is we've met in Kundalini over the course of these weeks. It's literally made of lightning-like streaks, and if you were to make a triangle with your thumb and forefinger, it would be about that size, although it can expand to fill the whole universe. And this triangle, these three sides of this triangle, represent three faces of Shakti as the creator, the sustainer, and the dissolver of worlds. And this, in the tantric tradition, this triangle is filled with significance. So let's just imagine it present there, this lightning-like triangle, point facing upwards, just about 6 inches above the crown. The goddess as creator, the one who creates the universe, is known as the goddess Vama. She's the one who creates the universe by bringing it forth from her divine body, literally vomiting it forth from her divine body. This is the side on the left side of your body. And the second is the goddess known as Jeshta. She's the sustainer of the universe. And Raudri, who dissolves the universe. So these three Shaktis, these three aspects of Shakti, these three faces of Shakti, chase each other around the lightning-like triangle here in the Sahasrara, creating, sustaining, and dissolving the world. These are associated also with the power of will or divine desire, which is the power of creativity, the power of knowing, which sustains the universe, and the power of action, which dissolves it. And again, those of you who are familiar with the tantric correspondences know that these qualities of will, knowing, and action, activity, are pulsating in every aspect of the natural world and in ourselves. Everything is created, sustained, and dissolved through these powers of divine will, divine knowing, and divine action, which of course manifests through us in our desires, our knowledge, our action, because we are microcosmic. Microcosms of the divine macrocosm. So when Shakti Kundalini rises to the Sahasrara, again, please see if you can hold some sense of your awareness here in this triangle, just feeling the way the flashing lightning-like light that makes up the sides of the triangle is kind of pulsing around itself, flowing the three sides of the triangle, the three points of the triangle are connected through a kind of flow. And when Shakti rises here and begins to unfold our divine knowledge, desire, and action, they open up inside us the purest forms of knowing, willing, and activity. And in Sanskrit, these are called Satyam, truth, Shivam, goodness, and Sundaram, beauty. So these qualities of pure awareness, Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, truth or reality, Satyam, Shivam, goodness, pure goodness, and Sundaram, pure beauty. These qualities are truth, knowledge, and goodness. They're the aspects of the utter pure Shakti who gives rise to our bodies and gives rise to the universe and who is living here secretly in the Sahasrara as truth, goodness, and beauty, hidden from us when we live in ego because our viewpoint is distorted by the feeling of separation. So we have only flashes or glimpses of our intrinsic truth, our intrinsic goodness, our intrinsic beauty. And yet, when the ego dissolves, even just a little bit, we begin to experience ourselves as intrinsically real, intrinsically true, authentically true, and intrinsically good and intrinsically beautiful, not because of anything we do or the way we look or how smart we are or anything except that this is our nature. This is Shakti alive in us. And, you know, this recognition of Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram is not the same thing as, you know, all good or have a good day. It's a much deeper recognition of the truth, beauty, and goodness that's present even in all those things in the physical world that don't seem true, beautiful, and good. And inside this triangle, which is made of the intertwining forms of Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, Shiva and Shakti, in their forms as Kameshwari, meaning the goddess of desire, and Kameshwara, who is Shiva as divine desire, are in union. They are literally in a divine embrace. They're having a complete sexual union in your Sahasrara. Kameshwari, who is also known as Lalita Tripura Sundari, the playful beauty of the three worlds, is the goddess of desire. Her desire, her pleasure, is sexual pleasure at the subtlest level. So it's sexual pleasure transmuted into total blissfulness. And it's that blissfulness, which we experience in sexuality and which we ultimately experience as the very essence of life, that both creates the world and also lures us, draws human beings both into the entanglement of life in the world and also into the divine bliss. And her lord, a form of Shiva, Kameshwara, is the most beautiful and alluring form of the divine masculine. You know, he's there. She is red, and he is luminous white, and he's also known as Sundara, the beautiful one, as she is known as Sundari, the beautiful one. And this union is, the union of the two is the, let's call it the mythic celebration of Kundalini's journey through this Ashumna Nadi. And as our Shakti rises to this space, even for a fraction of a second, and ultimately her promise is that this will be our full experience, we begin to experience this love and bliss that are literally nectarian. That word, nectarian. My hope, my prayer is that this is your experience, if not in this moment, at least in the weeks and months and years to come, as you recognize the nectar that is your self-awareness, your awareness. So in the poetry of the great Sufi devotional poets, who somehow, more than any other poet, seem to carry this awareness, Rumi has a line that I've never forgotten. He says, "I come shirtless to this lovemaking. I come naked to this lovemaking because there's no cloaking. There's no aspect of ourselves that we hide from this lovemaking that takes place inside awareness." So when we experience the inner beloved in the heart and begin to experience how the beloved in the heart manifests at subtler and subtler levels, the beloved in the heart is, let's call that the beloved of the soul, the individual beloved, the guide who has accompanied us through this journey. The beloved in the Sahasrar, the beloved in the highest chakra, is the absolute reality as the beloved. So in the heart is the individual soul, in the Sahasrar is the supreme soul, and they come together and are separated. As Kabir says, we live together, the great one and the small one. So the lovemaking in the Sahasrar is, in another sense, the coming together of the individual, of your divine personal essence, Shakti, who's manifested as individuation. Having completed her journey of individuation, she rises to re-experience the bliss of union with her complete transcendent beloved. So just a moment, we're going to meditate on that union. But just in this moment, see if you can allow the inhalation to flow in through the Sahasrara down into the Ajna and flow back up from the Ajna to the Sahasrara. Or you can do it the other way, as we have been practicing through this class, inhaling up through the Sahasrara and then letting the exhalation flow down from the Sahasrara to the Ajna, perhaps down to the heart if that feels right to you. Inhaling upward through the Sahasrara and then exhaling with the feeling that the vast realm of light which opens up from the highest chakra is just gently seeping down with the breath through the central channel into the heart and perhaps further down. So in the tantric texts, this experience of opening up into the higher realms, the higher chakras, is called reunion, the reunion of the self with the self, because the self really has never been separate from the self. So it's our recognition of oneness with the divine. And as Kundalini, as the life force energy, merges with the pure witness awareness, what happens is that these two separated lovers, or our soul and our essence, are drawn into a transcendent state. And for a moment, or for some of us, for much longer, we experience total non-duality, the recognition that whatever is, can, or will be experienced is arising and subsiding inside this one awareness. And in some traditions, that's considered the ultimate, and it's pretty darn ultimate. But in the Kundalini practice, in the tantric practice, as we experience this union in the Sahasrara, what we're asked to do is allow the nectar, the blissfulness that's kindled in that union, to literally fall down through the body. Actually, we don't allow it. It does itself, as some of you have experienced. And to open us up to a kind of full-bodied, all-encompassing, it's kind sometimes described as a all-body, subtle-body orgasm, but it's much subtler than a physical orgasm. It's the ripple of blissfulness that can feel as though it's flowing through your blood and bones, dissolving your physicality. And as your body reemerges from this kind of meditation, you feel that it's been suffused with and rejuvenated by this experience of the blissfulness of Shiva and Shakti. And even one little flash of it, which is often all we can handle at a given moment, is going to create in you a template that will eventually draw your whole body into accepting your nature as Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, as truth, goodness, and beauty. And this love affair, because that's what it is, this love affair that begins to open in you and begins to reveal itself in you as different currents of sweetness, is the promise of Tantra. It's really the reason that Tantric tradition, the Tantric sages, say that their path is the greatest, because it's as this experience happens, it starts to shift, rearrange, reorder not only your experience of yourself, but your ability to perceive the world, the supposed outer world, as an expression of this love affair. So you actually start to recognize, my guru used to say, this world is the love flow of God manifest. This begins to be real. You begin to see it, to feel it. So the ultimate tantric realization that Kundalini promises us, perhaps not today, but honestly, I swear to you, ultimately, in this body, in this lifetime, for you, for every one of you, Kundalini promises you the awakening of this love affair, in which you do begin to experience this world making love to you, making love to itself, Shakti making love to Shiva through your body, through your vision, through your thoughts. And the more you can recognize this reality, as I say, 30 seconds is enough. Some poet says, I saw this only for a moment, but it changed me forever. It starts to redefine the way you live and think and move. So in the journey of Kundalini, remember we talked about the sutra, drinking, drinking, falling down, drinking again, drinking, drinking, falling down, drinking again, that experience of Shakti rising to Sahasrara in the process, purifying the chakras once again, a little bit more, bringing up the karmic knots and difficulties to be dissolved in the light of awareness. As she little by little removes the veils until we see that the world is a love affair. It's really the mystery, the miracle of this path, this glimpse, this experience of what is. I sometimes tell this story about my old friend who had his initial awakening in Vietnam during a firefight in the jungle after a helicopter had crashed and exploded, and he was wounded and lying there with this apocalyptic vision happening all around him. And suddenly his inner eye opened and he saw that it was all taking place in light, in love. He saw the bliss behind the world, behind the horror. So this promise, this awareness, hopefully not in that kind of situation, may you be spared from such a moment in your physical life. But at the same time, you know, there's a great Kabbalistic aphorism which says, greater is the light that comes from darkness, which really reveals this paradoxical mystery that in the necessity of this journey that we make, in which Shakti literally descends into physical manifestation, into density, into earthiness, into darkness, into what we experience as suffering and discomfort, and then brings forth the light that's hidden within the particles of the physical world, as she awakens us, not only by taking us through the lessons and the experiences that we need, but not only by opening the wisdom of experience, but also showing us in the end that the whole physical universe can recognize itself as light. The self-recognition that inside matter is the absolute expression of love and wisdom and consciousness and bliss. So we're going to meditate now on Kameshwari and Kameshwara, the god and the goddess. I offer salutations to the god and the goddess, the infinite parents of the world. The lover out of boundless love has become the beloved. They sit together on the same ground, wearing the same garment of light. And you can bring your awareness to the breath and feel the breath flowing in from the heart up through the crown, flowing down to the heart, and then just see if you can allow your awareness to rise with the inhalation up through the crown of the head to say yes to Kundalini's desire to show you herself. If you like, you can offer the mantra Om or Om Aim Hrim Shrim into this region above the crown. And have this intention that you're going to accept that everything about your life the parts that feel beautiful and the parts that really don't feel so great are part of the way that Goddess Kundalini is revealing to you that everything you experience through your senses, through your mind, is a form of her play, is a form of her. So have this intention. I allow Goddess Kundalini to show me that whatever is seen with the eyes, whatever is heard, smelled, tasted, felt, everything I'm experiencing now, in the past and in the future, is her, is an expression of Goddess Kundalini Shakti, enacting her erotic play as this universe and as me, as my body mind. My entire experience, whether I feel expanded or contracted or joyful or bored or confused, it's all an experience of Goddess playing as you. My body is an expression of Goddess. My mind is an expression of Goddess. And with that recognition, see if you can feel above your head the presence of an altar made of silvery jeweled light. And on this altar, this platform, the forms of Goddess Kundalini, Kameshwari, and her divine beloved Kameshwara, the beautiful one. His body is flowing white light, her body is ruby red, and the two of them are entwined, and you may imagine them in their divine light bodies as an exquisitely beautiful white male deity and an exquisitely beautiful red female deity. She sits on his lap. Her head is thrown back. He's kissing her, he's holding her, and their bodies are rippling and undulating as they join and separate, rippling with the ecstasy of union, who have been parted for ages and yet who have never been parted, whose joy is rippling from them in waves. Just see if you can allow yourself to sense the presence of these two aspects of divine awareness. Shiva and Shakti, the power of awareness and the power of creative energy, undulating in their seat above the crown, radiating exploding particles of golden light, of red light, of blue and white light. And as you sense their presence here, see if you can feel that light with its quality of blissfulness, of contentment, of vibratory excitement flowing down through your head, filling your brain as a nectar that is the color of red and white mingled into a rosy light that is literally inundating, flooding your body from above, flowing through your brain and your face, through your neck, radiating through your shoulders, through your torso, your ribs and the organs, your lungs and heart, flowing down your arms and fingers, through your abdomen, your lower body, your entire body divinized by this rosy light the nectar that flows from the lovemaking of the god and the goddess, Kundalini, energy and awareness. Feel that with your inhalation, that light flows upward. With the exhalation, it flows downward through your pores, flows through your body. Bringing with it the acceptance of your own divinity. The acceptance of your own existence as pure light. And as the breath arises as the inhalation, awareness rises up through the crown. And as the breath subsides in exhalation, you just sense this light flowing downward through the whole body, down to your feet and into the earth. You are this unique individual with this unique karmic life path and this utterly unique journey. But within and beyond all that, you are the expression of Goddess's fire. You're that unified energy awareness, Shiva Shakti, that is the self. And my hope is that as your journey continues, you can take this commitment to accept that divinity is what you are. You can take this seriously and to begin to allow yourself to let go of the attachment to limitation that all of us cling to and live into your existence as truth, goodness, and beauty. So that these qualities which are intrinsic in you can also permeate your vision in this incredibly difficult time on this planet in which the possibility of seeing the Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram behind it all is being offered to us moment by moment. So this is the culmination of this 7-week class. It's certainly not the end of your journey, and it's certainly not the end of our journey. You're going to be getting a homework assignment for the week, and I hope that you'll continue to share on the listserv and also join us in the next class, which is going to kind of take the wisdom of Shakti and unfold the ways in which she manifests as a world and also as the different aspects of you in our Surfing Reality class. So there are just a couple of things I want to say that I feel is really, really important in this practice. The first is to keep your awareness centering just once or twice or more every day on the flow of the Sushumna Nadi, the central channel. And to notice where the Shakti wants to center, whether it wants to center in the heart, in the center of the head, in the Sahasrara, to sense the flow of energy in the Sushumna, the way in which, as you let the breath flow in the Sushumna, flowing in and up through the crown and then down through the crown, through the Sushumna into the base. You can allow her to open you up from inside in a regular very daily way, so that whatever else is happening in your life, some part of you is flowing in the central channel. And the second thing that is really important is to let yourself recognize that no matter how dense things get, no matter how confused things get, no matter how messed up your life seems to be, no matter how completely crazy your mind might get at a given moment, all of this really is an expression of her. And if you have the intention to consider that whatever arises, whatever occurs, is arising within her and from her, what happens is that little by little, this intention begins to become your reality, and you begin to become a vessel for Goddess living in you, acting through you. My guru used to say to us, despite what is and is not, you are always completely free, because Goddess is your nature, freedom is your nature. And this is the realization, the recognition that comes to us for a moment, for the session of duration of a meditation session, for a day, for a week, and eventually for your life. So I want to say that it's been an extraordinary gift for me to be with you in this class. I literally feel the energy of the Shakti and the energy that is arising through all of us, starting to gather on the morning of the day that we're together, and then irradiating my days through the week. And I know that that's true for some of you. I hope that it's true for all of you. So we also have just a couple of minutes in which we could have a question or two. I don't want to keep you so long from your evening, from your life. But if anybody has a question that comes up for you that you would like to ask in these moments, you can press *7 and ask your question, and I will speak to a couple. So if you have a question, you can press *7.
Hi, Sally.
Hi. Who's this?
It's Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi. I feel so incredibly grateful to hang around anywhere you are. So, the group experiences. I mean, it's been strange for me how connected I feel to people that I don't know.
I know.
And
it's wild, isn't it?
Yeah. But that we're all kind of trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And then it's just sort of reassuring, actually, that we're all at it, kind of doing the same thing. So would we hear from you about your next teleclass? Or
yes, you certainly will.
I didn't think online about that. So
yeah.
I'm happy to hear you.
Yes, you'll hear from me, and you'll hear from me tomorrow with some homework assignments, and I'm there answering questions on the listserv. Those of you who've written in questions for the last couple of days, I haven't been very diligent about answering them because I don't really have any internet access except for about 2 minutes a day. But I'm completely on, and I'm reading them, and I will get them to you. So also, Deb wanted me to let you know that that she can get you all the information about the next class next week, as I give her the class information. And it's starting mid-April. And Deb and I have to figure out which is the appropriate Wednesday for the class to start. So you'll be getting that information really soon.
And is it an extension of this work, or
it's related to this work. It's because Kundalini in her individuated form, Shakti in her individuated form is called Kundalini. Shakti in her cosmic form is called Spanda. And this is a class on the background, on the textual background of what it really means, both in a cosmic and an individual sense, to be an expression of Shakti in the world. So yes, it's an extension of this class, it's a deepening of this class, and it's a broadening of this class. It's very daily life related as well as meditative related. Anyway, you'll get a description of it, and you can see if it feels like the right thing for you. It's called Surfing Reality Through the Grace of Shakti.
Anyway, you know, you're just an incredible gift, I know, to everybody here. And I told you I'm doing this work with Paul.
Right.
And it's just such an interesting kind of juxtaposition to work in the same material and yet in such a profoundly different way.
Yes.
But I feel like I get that surfing, you know, on the waves and on the ocean.
Beautiful.
And it comes clear differently, but
I'm
always so excited when it's Wednesday.
Thank you, Wendy. And thank you for what that, you know, you kind of did the closing for us. That's very sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Sally.
Oh, love and blessings to you. And I think we have a minute or two for another question. If something feels emergent, you can press *7.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Sally. This is Porfirio. I have a question or a comment about the bonus audio. It caused me to go into Kriyas. It started off and then I started going into Kriyas, and then I played it and played it again through. For about 20 minutes, I went into Kriyas from bouncing my head off my pillow to my stomach being doing crunches to gasping for air, taking real long inhale to push my head back. And actually, I guess that was part of the throat, dealing with the throat. So and it continues to happen to me. I continue to play it, and I continue to go into Kriyas. So I really love that bonus audio. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. And enjoy your Kriyas as they open up your inner and outer body. That's very beautiful, Porfirio. Thank you.
So the question, I do have a question about that. What I know it's Kundalini. I mean, it's Shakti going through me. So it is just trying to open me. I mean, that's what the Kriyas are doing.
It is opening you. And you know, the word Kriya means divine action or subtle action, and it is literally the movement of Shakti in your chakras and in your body. And what it's, you know, if we look at the movement of Kundalini in kind of a, let's say physical way or in terms of ordinary life, that part of what she's doing is removing tensions. So the tensions in the physical body, the tensions in the subtle body, the mental tensions, these Kriyas are literally about dissolving tensions, because in a certain sense, from one point of view, all of our contraction and the pain that contraction causes is the result of tensions. So that's what the Kriyas are for. They're loosening tensions, and you probably find, and you'll find more and more, that your body becomes looser, that your mind becomes more open, and eventually your life starts to reflect it. So the Kriyas are fun, most of them, but they're also really very profoundly transformative.
Well, thank you for the blessing. It's really awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Porfirio. Thank you so much.
Bye
bye. And so we are now at the hour. So unless someone has a burning emergent question, we're going to bring this to a close. You'll be getting, of course, the audio will show up tomorrow on the course private page and the private page of the website, and your homework will be coming. And, of course, my love and the love of the goddess are always there. Please do continue to write in. I know that your conversation with each other is really profound, profound for me as well, and I will also continue to be part of the conversation. We'll leave the listserv mailing list will be active for at least another 2 weeks, so don't hesitate to write in and ask and speak and share. And once again, with so much love, I want to thank you for being present, all of you who are here live and all of you who are going to be joining us later in the week or next week. It's such a gift to be with you and to feel Kundalini Shakti expanding through each of you, through all of us. So just allow the breath to flow. Feel how she flows in through the crown and down through the body, down to the very base of the body and up again. And begin to sense how, as you call in and invoke the presence of Kundalini in your body, as you feel her flowing through your inner body and outer body, she's also flowing out into the world so that your life in a very immediate way becomes a blessing, becomes an opening into, becomes a way of downloading Shakti into the immediate environment, opening up not only each of us, but the whole world that we express into. So thank you so much. Have a beautiful evening. We'll be in touch through the week. Love and blessings. Namaste.